Christmas, Marina, Rav Shlita. Well, rain is a very popular topic in England at any time. Hopefully, because we've already had so much this year, we won't get any on Sukkot. The Mishnah in Sukkot Kafchet actually says that rain on Sukkot is given a moshel, a parable, like the servant who is pouring out a glass for his master, v'shofachlo kitan al tonov, and he spills it over his face. And the Gemara actually asks, who is spilling on whom? Is it the servant spilling it over the master's face, or is it the master turning it over and spilling it on the servant's face? As if to say that maybe Hashem is not very pleased with us, so therefore he is giving us a little rebuke by disabling us from keeping the mitzvah of sukkah. Because if you sit in the sukkah in the rain, you're not doing a mitzvah. You are called mitzta'er. Mitzta'er means troubled. So the Gemara in Sukkah Chavlov says, mitzta'er potter min ha-sukkah. When you are mitzta'er, you are potter. You are released from the duty of keeping the mitzvah of sukkah. It doesn't say potter min ha-mitzvah. It says potter min ha-sukkah, as if to imply that this does not apply to other mitzvahs. Why? The Gemara explains, teishvu ke'ein tiduru. You live in the sukkah just like you live in your house. Just like you eat and sleep in the house, you drink in the house. So you eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah. But if you're unable to comfortably eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah, then you're not expected to sit in the sukkah, because you are mitzta'er. The Rashba says in Chelek Dala Dain Ches that the Torah requires only as much as you would be doing in the house. Obviously there is some discomfort by having to move out, and we say that if we have to go into Golos as a decree from Yom Kippur, then we're fulfilling that decree by going out of our house. And there might be some discomfort, but you should have reasonable comfort when you eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah. And if you don't, and you're sitting in a drafty sukkah and you are not comfortable, then you shouldn't make the bracha leishei basukkah, because you haven't got the mitzvah. And so Rabbeinu Menach says that this din of mitzvah applies with sukkah more than any other mitzvah. Where else do you get the idea of mitzvah? That because you're troubled, oh, I'm bothered, therefore I don't have to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. There is, in fact, another place in the Shulchan Aruch which talks about mitzvah, and that is by tefillin. If for some reason you are unable to concentrate properly from various distractions when it comes to the mitzvah tefillin, then it says in Siman Lamed Ches Tes mitzta'er posumit neisha osel asiach datamim, that you're not allowed to distract your mind from tefillin even for one moment. I've had people coming up to me asking mundane questions when I was wearing my tefillin. Yeah, do I need planning permission for my loft conversion? You know, when you're wearing tefillin, you mustn't take your mind off your tefillin for one moment. And the Mishnah Berurah says, however, if you cannot adapt yourself, you should pull yourself together and you shall keep the mitzvah of tefillin. But there is a difference between tefillin and sukkah. With tefillin, you mustn't distract for a single moment. With sukkah, you can fulfill just for one moment. The Kura Yaakov brings this terminology, and the idea of sukkah is to have concentration, because the Torah says l'man yedu darasechem ki v'sukkah sashavti, in order that the future generations will know that you dwelt in sukkahs, that you came out from Mitzrayim, and Hashem protected you with an anane covered, so you will have concentration for the mitzvah of sukkah, because we are commemorating the sukkahs. There are not many mitzvahs which have this idea of l'man. We have it by tzitzis and tefillin. Tzitzis l'man tizkruvasisem, tefillin l'man tiyataras Hashem b'picho. So even according to the opinion who holds that mitzvahs don't need kavana, because there's an argument, do mitzvahs need kavana or not? The chachila, all mitzvahs need kavana. But by sukkah, even according to the one who holds mitzvahs don't need kavana, you still need kavana for sukkah, otherwise you're not doing the mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah says l'man yedu darasechem. So are you going to have kavanah in the sukkah when it's raining in? Of course not. So the Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes says, Yodu Gashamim, if rain comes down, how is it nichnas l'toch habayis? You give up, you go back into your house. So the Rama says, L'chala potum in a sukkah, and anyone who is potum from the sukkah because it's raining in, v'eino yotzei mishom, and does not go into the house, eino kabel scha, he's not getting rewards for saying, oh, I'm going to pull myself together, I'm going to try very hard. V'eino nela hadyotus, and he brings from the Yerushalmi the Lashon, that person is just an idiot, he's stupid to sit in the sukkah. So you might say to me, hold on a minute, we find there are plenty of mitzvahs where a person isn't really chayav, but he wants to be machmir. He feels he wants to be stringent upon himself, and often people on machmir are praised if they take on a chumrah. So why is it that sukkah, if you're going to be machmir and sit in the sukkah when it's raining, you're not getting any reward at all? It's not harizim ashubach like you might find with other mitzvahs. Because the Torah says, Teshvu, you shall live in the sukkah. And Teshvu means you live, and that's not called living. So you're not doing any mitzvah. You can be machmir in other ways with a mitzvah of sukkah. For example, okal arai, if you have a little snack, like a drink, you're allowed to have it outside the sukkah. It's not a meal. You can have a drink or some fruit outside the sukkah. But you can be machmir if you want, and that's praiseworthy, to have the drink and to have the fruit inside the sukkah. That's called a valid chumrah. But to sit in the rain, that's not called a chumrah at all. It's just called plain stupid. Says the Bi'ah Halacha, why do we use this word hedyot? Because when there is an isser involved. Because when you are going to be machmir by sitting in the sukkah, the fact is that you are doing a little bit of a prohibition. Why? Because it's like chilul yom tov. You are taking yourself away from the oneg and the joy and the atmosphere of having a nice yom tov. So that is why it's already called hedyot. So there are different kinds of mitzvah. It's not just rain. For example, it might be a very hot sun. Hallelujah, we should get such a thing here. So if you have cold weather, you feel cold, all right, you can organize yourself before sukkah and make some nice heating and cut out the draft so that you won't be mitzvah l'chachila. Or there are lots of flies in the sukkah, wasps. The Gemara talks about the difference between learning Bekius and learning Be'ion. If you're learning Be'ion with depth and you need concentration, you need to move your hands a lot like this when you're learning, so you feel troubled by sitting in the sukkah, so you are potter from the sukkah if you learn Be'ion outside. What if you have guests and they just don't leave and you've got a kavir, so you want to learn, and the guests are not really yours, they're your wife, so maybe you've got a very chatty mother-in-law in the sukkah, without disrespect. And how are you going to carry on with your daf yomi or other learning if your mother-in-law is talking away in the sukkah? Then you might perhaps excuse yourself by saying, I'm mitzta'er. Of course, you won't be mitzta'er the whole year round, but you will be mitzta'er on the sukkah. The Gemara talks about a choson, a newlywed. Choson v'shushpinov might be troubled by sitting in the sukkah. Why? He wants to be alone with his wife, and a sukkah is a place where people come in, they go out, there's no privacy, and the sukkah might not have four walls, it's only got two and a bit walls, and he wants to be intimate with his wife, so therefore he's freed from the duty of sitting in the sukkah. There is another mitzvah where I've seen the subject of mitzvah come up quite strangely, apart from tefillin, and that is the mitzvah of Yishuv Be'eretz Yisrael. If a person is living in the land of Israel and says, I'm mitzvah because I can't take the heat, what's the din there? The Sefer Mishpat Kohen in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin says there's no din mitzvah in the mitzvah of Yishuvas Eretz Yisrael. You have to put yourself together and make a go of it. There's no mitzvah then otherwise with mitzvahs. So you might say to me, oh, what about the din of ones? There are lots of mitzvahs where you say, I just can't manage to fulfill it because I'm forced. What is the difference between ones and mitzvah? There is a difference. I mean, ones can be with any mitzvah, I say. I haven't got money to buy tefillin, therefore I'm ones. I can't help it, so I can't lay my tefillin. But mitzvah is not a category of ones. Mitzvah is related to the din of Kein Tiduru, Teshvu Kein Tiduru. It's the extent of how much effort am I required to put in, and the Gemara defines, and the Halacha defines what effort. When it comes to sleeping, even the slightest drop of rain is called mitzvah. When it comes to eating, a sensitive dish, when it gets spoiled, that's already mitzvah. So you might be able to tolerate a little bit of drizzle. So what are the criteria of mitzvah? To understand this idea that I'm released from the obligation of the mitzvah of sukkah, So the Mordechai says, by leaving the sukkah, will that tsar stop? By the tsar ceasing, that takes me out of the sukkah and the dinner mitzvah. But if I leave the sukkah and that mitzvah does not stop, then maybe I'm not really mitzvah from the sukkah. What's the typical example? The Gemara talks about the Ovel. Somebody who has just lost a close relation, and he's got to sit in the sukkah. Ovel chayav b'sukkah. But the Ovel might say, look, I want to feel my doom and gloom and brood in private. I will feel better if I'm out of the sukkah, away from everybody. So the Gemara says, no, that's not called mitztayer. But the other says, I am mitztayer. He is mitztayer. But by going out of the sukkah, that will not take away his feeling of avelus. So the Gemara says, Iboile nisuve date. He's got to put his mind to it. He's got to pull himself together. So the Ma'arik notes that we go one step further with the Ovel. We don't just say Teishvu Ka'in Tuduru, that you live in the sukkah like you live in the house. It goes one step further. Boile Nisuve Dati means you've got to put your mind to it, and the Ovel should just put himself together, and he shall sit in the sukkah. And the Rosh says, you need this phrase, Iboile Nisuve Dati, because the Ovel feels better when he's brooding on his own in the house. So he might say that because my Avelus doesn't stop, okay, but I feel better by going out of the sukkah, that's not good enough. Kamashmano to teach you, he still has to sit in the sukkah. And so the Gemara says, the Bach says, that is in fact a phrase in the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Hani mile betzara de mimela, that you are released from the sukkah when you are mitztayer by something which comes automatically upon you externally, whereas the ovel is something internal. So he's putting the tsar in a way on himself, and that's when you pull yourself together. But if you can't, you can't. What if you are a sick person, and you'll be sick even when you leave the sukkah? Going out of the sukkah will not take away your sickness. But if you feel more sensitive because it is colder in the sukkah than in the house, then because you're a sick person, you have a dinner mitzvah, then you may leave the sukkah when you're not feeling well. So the tsar says, even if you're feeling unwell in the house, when you're a sick person, so your leaving the sukkah does not remove your category of being sick. Nevertheless, the Gemara distinguishes between Ovel and Chole, because the Ovel can put his mind to it and put himself together, but the Chole can't. He's helpless, and therefore the Chole, the sick person, is released from the obligation of the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, there is a Mishnah in Sukkah Chof Zayin which says that on the first night there is a special chovah in sukkah. On the first night, one should eat one's kazayis in the sukkah, and even if it's raining, it seems to be saying. The Shulchan Aruch brings this down in Tov Reish Lamed Tes. Achila Belel Yom Tov Alef Chovah. It's a din, which is like a more strict din than sukkahs for the rest of the festival. So the Ramah says, Achila B'Shas Keshomim. Even if it's raining in, Lo Niftar U'Makadesh V'Elcha B'Sukkah. You are not released by din mitzdayah. You have to make kiddush, you have to eat in the sukkah. It's pouring in, so you put on your raincoat. Alright, you can't open an umbrella on Yom Tov. Although Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that on the Chol HaMoed, you can put up an umbrella in the sukkah and be fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah, even though you are having something between you and the tzchach. What if you sleep under a bed? You're not your mitzvah of sukkah. But the umbrella is movable. But he said, don't make the bracha. Okay. Now, the Ramah says then, even if it's raining in, and this is really a machlokis rishonim, because the Tur and the Ran and the Rosh say on the first night, even a person who is mitzayer is chayav b'sukkah. How can this be? How can a person be fulfilling the mitzvah on the first night, even in the rain, if there is a din of mitzayer? Because the din of mitzayer is based upon teishu kein didiru. Teishu means in the normal manner of living as you would live in a house. If it's raining in, then that's not like living in the house, because when you sit in your living room and the water comes through a leaking roof, you're not going to sit in there. You'll put out a bucket and you'll go into another room until the plumber comes. So why is it that you're still chayav on the first night? Says the Mishnah Berurah, brings down, because for the first night there's a gezeirah shavah, chamisha osa, chamisha osa. We compare it to Seder night. Just like on Seder night you have to eat your kazayis of matzah, so on the first night of sukkah you have to eat your kazayis in the sukkah. So that is why he says the din of mitzvah is set aside, and therefore you carry on even if it's raining. Comes along the Vilna Gaon and says, no, this can't be. If it's raining in the sukkah on the first night, you don't sit in the sukkah. He is a chalik with the Ramah. And he bases his opinion on other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Raiva, Tosfos, who say that although there is a gezeira shava of chamisha osa, the 15th of Nisan and the 15th of Tishri, that can't be mavatel the din of mitzdayer. That is, and that is, sorry, Shuvah brings down the Shad Sivan brings down the Ho'iko Kain. That is the main thing. You can't sit in rain and saying I'm sitting in the sukkah. And in trying to understand then the remark in insisting that you sit in the rain, we're going to delve in this a little bit further. There's another remark in Tov Reish Mem in Sif Dalet, who says that if you build a sukkah in a place where you will be mitzta'er, then you'll never yotza from that sukkah. And the remark says, if you are mitzta'er from eating, or drinking, or sleeping. Now this creates some very important questions, because if you build a sukkah and you are mitzta'er to sleep in it, but you're quite happy to eat in it, you're quite happy to drink in it during the day, but at night time it feels cold and you haven't got enough heating and it's a bit drafty, so you're more sensitive, then according to the words of the Ramah, that sukkah is not even kosher for your eating. Which means that you can't make the bracha of Leishav Basukha, even though it's perfectly suitable for eating it. And this begs a big question, because, you know, you go up Golders Green Road and you see restaurants who put sukkahs outside their premises, so that when you buy your hot food takeaway on sukkahs, you can actually go into the sukkah out there, outside the shop, and eat it there. But come on, you're not going to sleep in such a sukkah, are you? Not just because of the cold. It might be in Israel where it's very nice and warm, but you're worried you're not going to sleep in the street where there are muggers around. What security is that? In the middle of the night, somebody can come in and try and take your money away. So that is a mitzvah. There's no way in a million years you're going to sleep in one of those sukkahs. But even not the sukkah on Golders Green Road. If you go on a sukkah ramble, if you go out in the countryside, once I built a sukkah in Richmond Park, in other places, you can the car is one of your walls, you put up a couple of sticks, you put your polythene or your blanket around it, and you have your picnic. Now that's fine, you make your sukkah, you make Leishav HaSukkah, that's fine for eating, you're not mitzayer. But you're not going to sleep in such a sukkah, are you? So is that according to the remark kosher sukkah, because it's not fit for sleeping in? No one in their right mind will sleep in Richmond Park in the middle of the night. So, all right, maybe if you're a tramp, you might say a tramp, it's kosher sukkah, because the tramp will sleep in it. But it's not something which you're likely to do. So how do we understand the Ramah? There's another Ramah which says that if you are sleeping in a minimal size sukkah, a minimum size sukkah is 7x7 tefachim, which is not very much bigger than a box which houses a washing machine. 7x7 tefachim, yeah. Because the Gemara talks about Rosh HaVerovo, if you include the table and so on, but most of your body can fit in a sukkah of 7x7. So what if you're going to sleep in a sukkah which is just 7x7? How comfortable are you going to be? You're going to really have to curl up a bit like a hedgehog, aren't you? And so the Ramah says, well, you're not mitzta'er in a 7x7. But the question is, how can Chazal make a dimension in something which I have difficulty sleeping in? I mean, when I go to sleep, I toss and I turn and I move and I stretch my legs. I couldn't sleep in an area 7x7. So why does the Ramah say that I'm not benefiting from a din of mitzvah? Comes along the Chacham Tzvi and his Shuvah Siman Sadi Dalad, and he says, this just can't be. First of all, he says, if you are mitzvah in a sukkah for sleeping, that does not exclude that sukkah for eating in. He says, I could have two sukkahs. One is for eating and one is for sleeping. And the one is for eating is catering for my needs for eating. It's got the table and it's got the chairs and it's got the space to stand up and so on. Whereas the sleeping one, it might have a low ceiling, but it's well insulated and it's warmer and it's got my bed in it. My great uncle, he had one sukkah for eating and he had one for sleeping. So if... Yeah, right. So if that's the case, why should I have to worry that my eating sukkah is fit for sleeping in? The Ramah is insisting that a sukkah has to be fit to sleep in. I can have two sukkahs. And the Taz, the Magen Avraham, also challenged the Ramah. And what does the Chacham Tzvi say? He says, I'll bring you a proof that what the Ramah is saying is not possible. He says, Kala Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu B'Sukkos. So how big can a sukkah be? It can be as big as the Isle of Wight. It can be so big that it encompasses the whole of Klal Yisrael sitting in it, all Jews together. But that's only eating. It can't be sleeping, because the Ikadin of sleeping, the Ramah says that you have a reason to be mitzvah if you don't have your wife sleeping next to you, because it's normal for you to, when you sleep in the house, to wait for your wife sleeping next to you, unless of course you snore so loudly that your wife won't want to sleep next to you. But I didn't say the other way around. But if the ikadin is ishvi ishto, that a man and a wife sleep in the same room the whole year round, therefore they sleep in the sukkah the whole year, that week round, therefore you won't even have two couples sleeping in the sukkah. You won't have a man and a wife and another man and his wife sleeping in the same sukkah. Alright, you might say we'll put a mechitza between them, but then it's two sukkahs and it's not one sukkah. So Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael relates to a sukkah which people can eat in. It can't possibly relate to a sukkah which people are sleeping in. Alright, when the air raids were going on in London and everybody was sleeping in the underground stations, alright, that was when a war was going on and it wasn't ideal, and there are problems of tzniut in such circumstances. So on the subject of rolling up like a hedgehog when you're asleep, says the Chacham Tzvi, I can't think of a bigger tzar than this. I can't think of a worse thing than to have to sleep rolled up like a hedgehog if one wants to stretch out. There is in fact a machlokes in the Gemara between Rebbe and the Rabbanon about the minimum size of a sukkah. And one holds that it's 4x4 amos. Now, all right, you can sleep well in 4x4 amos and toss and turn, but 7x7 tzvachim. But he says you don't sleep like that the whole year round, like, rolled up like a hedgehog. And he says there's a difference when it comes to reigning in the sukkah between sleep and food. The din of sleep is mitzvah starts straight away, that when there's the slightest drop of rain you can leave the sukkah. But with food, you can wait a little bit. So there are differences between sleep and food. So why does the Ramah try to merge it all together, he says. And indeed, Rabbi Akiva, he built a sukkah on a boat once when there was a howling wind, which is definitely unfit for sleeping in, but he put up a sukkah on a boat in order that he could eat in it. Does that mean it was not a kosher sukkah? According to you, the Ramah, with the greatest of respect, he even says, I ask for mechila for saying this, but still okay to eat in. And indeed, the Shari Tshuva quotes, brings down from Tovrei Shlama Tess in Sifkot Nalof, he quotes the Rav Haigon, that if a sukkah is not big enough, one can have shifts. Namely, You might have a sleeping sukkah, and you might have two couples. So the first couple might sleep in the sukkah the first half of the night, and another couple in the second half of the night. Or you make shifts when it comes to eating. So it might not be fit for eating, sleeping, and drinking, but you can organize yourself to make it suitable for everybody in one way or another. So how are we going to understand this machlokas between the Chacham Tzvi and the Ramah? And the Ramah talks about the first night of sukkah, you have to sit in there even if it's raining. And remember, the Vilna Gaon said you don't have to. So we had a machlokas between the Ramah and the Groth. And so this is the Chacham Tzvi is talking against the Mordechai, who was holding that it's all good enough to have 7x7, one sukkah, and so on. We get a bit longish for a moment. What is the din of mitzta'er? When one is troubled to sit in the sukkah, is it a chisoron? Is it an impediment in myself, the gavra, as a person? It's not fit for the way that I live in the sukkah, just the way I live in the house, how I feel in the sukkah, but it's still a sukkah. It's just that my feeling in that sukkah is inadequate in order to perform the mitzvah. Or do we say that the whole problem of the mitzvah is on the chefta, on the article, on the sukkah? This is called the brisk way of learning. That is to say, is there an impediment in the sukkah? Is the sukkah fit for living in? If not, it's not called a sukkah. And since it's not a sukkah, then I can't be fulfilling the mitzvah. So the Chacham Tzvi is saying that the exemption of mitzvah is on the person. If I can't sleep in the sukkah, that's my problem, but I can still eat in it. Right? So the mitzvah only goes as far as my inability to sleep in it. But according to the Mordechai, the reason why that sukkah must be fit for sleeping and eating and drinking is because it's in the chesta, in the article, it's in the object itself. It has to be suitable. It's not a sukkah at all if it rains in. And that explains the argument between the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon. Because the Ramah says you have to eat in the sukkah. You have to pull yourself together. Why? Because he's saying it's on the gavra, it's on myself. It's on myself to do the mitzvah of sukkah. I put myself together, so I put up with a bit of rain and I put on an additional raincoat, good enough. But the Vilna Gaon is saying no. The mitzvah of sukkah is in the chefza. The mitzvah is related to the article itself. It's not a sukkah at all when it's raining. It's simply not a sukkah, and therefore you can't do the mitzvah even if you tried, even if you say I'm going to be machmir, because it's not a sukkah. And that explains the machlokas between them.
If the sukkah is completely impenetrable by rain, it's not kosher sukkah.
It's not in kosher sukkah in any case. It has to be penetrable. But so if it's raining, rain has to be able to come in.
Yeah.
But if it rain is able to come in, the Vilna Gaon says it hasn't got a din of sukkah anymore. It's only a sukkah when it's fit to be lived in. Since it's not fit to be lived in, it's not a sukkah. So that is the machlokas between them on the first night. On the first night, we're saying if it rains in, the Ramah says pull yourself together, because he says it's on the gavra. You just manage to adapt yourself to the circumstances. But the Vilna Gaon is saying it's not a sukkah at all. So however much you wrap yourself up, it's no good. So according to the Vilna Gaon, you really have to wait till the rain stops. Because the first night, Kamish Asa. Whereas according to the Ramah, you can eat while it's raining, and then you finish and you bench and you go to bed. And if it stops raining, you don't have to come out again because you're mitzvah, you've gone to bed. Ain't matrichin oso, we don't bother you anymore. But the Vilna Gaon is saying you have to stay up till midnight and wait for the rain to stop.
Is there a problem then, according to the Gaon, that a sukkah that was pesula in the chastah can later on in sukkah, so later on the night, become kashera?
It seems that the attitude of the Vilna Gaon relates to the whole of sukkahs, not just the first night. But I'm trying to explain the rationale behind the argument on the first night as far as when it's raining is concerned.
There are different categories of mitzvah.
Because according to the Vilna Gaon, when it's raining in, it's not a sukkah. So your potter is in mitzvah, but it's also because it's not a sukkah. But if you're feeling unwell, that's not a paturah, that's not a chisorin in the sukkah. So the sun is shining and everybody else feels like, so it is a sukkah. But you're unwell. So there are different categories of mitzvah. So if my mother-in-law is talking away, don't get this wrong, I've got a very nice mother-in-law. But if your mother-in-law is talking away in the sukkah, mitzvah, that according to the Gaon, it's not really a chisorin in the sukkah. Because it's fit to be lived in. But you are mitzvah, so there is an overlap with the gavra and the chefta.
Yeah, and we're not only saying you've got to eat kavai, isn't it? You've got to eat it all your whole meal.
Yes, that's right.
So well, you only need to go for a few minutes.
Alright, so I'll say kibetza, but we won't go into that now. And what about the first night? So we said chamisha osor, chamisha osor. But there is another aspect about the first night, which is hinted at in the Pasuk, Ach b'chamisha osor yom. So Rabbi Yehuda Shaviv says in Tchumim Chafalos, he says in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, and it talks about the first day of Sukkot, it's got the word Ach, and Ach is an exclusion. So although it says you shall live in the Sukkot for 7 days, there is something about the first day which excludes it, which makes it slightly different from all the other days with the Ach. Therefore, even if you have a din of mitzvah, then you'll say, no, I still have to, according to the Ramah, you'll still sit in the sukkah in the rain. Why? Because of this word, ach. And according to the Ramah, you'll still have to go back into the sukkah till midnight. There's no mitzvah on the first night. It's set to one side, because there's an exclusion in the posuk, ach. Because it says, you want to have simchas yom tov. But that is set aside on the first night in order that you can fulfill that kazayis in the sukkah. So the mitzvah relates to the idea of Simchas Yom Tov, but Ach excludes the first night. Moving on a little bit, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Gimel, talks about L'Osid Lavo. In the future, the Gentiles of the world are going to make a complaint. They're saying, look, it's not fair. the Jews are getting their reward for keeping all the mitzvahs. All right, we didn't keep the mitzvahs. Hashem could say to them, look, I offered you, when Matan Torah, I went round the peoples of the world, I offered you, and it was rejected. Okay, the Goyim said, give us something. Give us something to keep, and we'll keep the mitzvah. We want a reward as well. Mitzvah kala yeshli. Alright, Hashem says, I've got an easy mitzvah. One which doesn't cost money, says the Gemara. Mind you, you go up Golders Green Road and you see what they're charging now for the laurels. It does cost money, but okay. It's an easy mitzvah to keep, relatively. Especially if there's a din mitzvah. If you're troubled from sitting in the sukkah, you don't have to sit in the sukkah. So it's an easy mitzvah. So Hashem says to these people, okay, I give you the mitzvah of sukkah. And Hashem brings out the hot sun. What happens? These people, the Umos Olam, they're sitting in a sukkah and they're so uncomfortable from the hot sun. What do? In their annoyance and anger, they get out of the sukkah and they kick it down. So the Gemara itself asks, why are you blaming them for going out of the sukkah? Because you could say there's a din of mitzvah, because Hashem is saying, look, you failed the test. I give you a simple mitzvah to keep, and you leave the sukkah. So you say, but they're potter midin mitzvah. There's a din of sukkah, teishu kein tiduru. How can you expect the Umos Olam to sit in the sukkah when it's so blazingly hot? The Gemara says, when they leave the sukkah in anger, they kick it down. When the Yid leaves the sukkah, he's doing so out of remorse, out of hachnor. He's upset that he's unable to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Now he's been through Elul and Tishri, where he's been asking for mechil of his avonos, and he wants to show his teshuvah me'avo, his repentance from love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's disappointed. He put all this work in the sukkah, and now he can't sit in it. But you can ask another question. Why does Hashem choose this mitzvah of sukkah? Alright, the Gemara says mitzvah kala, it's easy, it doesn't cost a lot of money, but there are other mitzvahs which are called easy. Shluach HaKen is called the easiest mitzvah. It's where it sits, it's a hard mitzvah, you put it on and you're wearing it, and that's it. Why is it that sukkah is chosen amongst all other mitzvahs for the Osid Lava, for the Umos Olam to keep? Why is the mitzvah of sukkah given more than any other? Thanks. The Maharshal says on this Gemara that sukkah is a diras arai. It's a temporary abode. A sukkah is a temporary abode. It has to be lived in. Okay. But Olam Hazeh is a diras arai. We are reminding ourselves on Sukkot that our whole life in this world is a diras arai, is a temporary abode, and that the real permanent abode is Olam Habo. And the Sukkot is to remind us of that. From the Maharshal we learn that Hashem is giving a message over to the Umos Olam, saying you regard Olam Hazeh as the be-all and end-all. This is the place to be. This is the place to enjoy oneself. It's simply not like that. You don't understand. Sukkah is what should give over this message that this world is a diras arai. And they don't get that message. And Reb Moshe Feinstein amplifies on this idea in his Dorash Moshe in Simon Chaf Beis. He says, they kick down the sukkah because they're full of anger that they can't practice their tanugim, the joys of Olam Hazeh. And that is why they're kicking it down. They don't want to be tied down to any restrictions. And they see it as a restriction. And the din of mitzvah comes into this. Because unfortunately there are Jewish people who do not keep mitzvahs properly. Just like the non-Jews. But he says those Jews, they feel for some reason they're unable to, that they're not up to it. They haven't yet got to that madriga. They have to try harder. So they feel that they're mitzvah. But with the non-Jews, it's not a question of mitzvah. It's that they are regarding this world not as a diras arai, but a diras keva, as a permanent abode. And that is their mistake. There's another idea which comes out from the Klei Chendo. Klei Chendo in Parshas Vayeshev, of all places, talks about this idea of sukkah and the mitzvah which Hashem gives to the Umos Olam. Why does Hashem give them the mitzvah of sukkah? he says, what do we do in the sukkah? We eat, we drink, we sleep. These are mundane activities. He says the mentality of the Umos HaOlam is that these can't be called a religious activity. For them, religious activity is going to their place of worship on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half. That is religion. But anything else, food, drink, sleeping, that's not religion. That's nothing to do with religion. The whole lesson of Yiddishkeit is that all these mundane activities which we're doing, like eating and drinking and sleeping, are part of our avodas Hashem. We're serving Hashem. When we eat, we make a brocha. Even when we sleep, we're serving Hashem in order to get koyach to serve Him. We say Berachas HaMakpil and so on. Every aspect of our lives, even the way we put on our shoes, is part of avodas Hashem. They can't understand this. It's not in their mentality. Hashem is sending them a message. You think you can perform a mitzvah of sukkah, but for them, the whole concept of eating and drinking and sleeping has nothing to do with religion. And that is the mistake that they make. And that is why Hashem is bringing out this idea from the mitzvah of sukkah. I think there's another idea which comes out from this mitzvah of sukkah, and it also relates to mitzvah. We said earlier that when you sit in the sukkah, you have to have kavona. Why do you have to have kavona? Because it says in the pasuk, "L'man yedu derasechem kiver sukkas hashavti es b'nei Yisrael b'tzias ometz Mitzrayim." It links us to coming out of Egypt, to Har Sinai, and when we're in the midbar, when we benefited from the Ananei Kovot. There's an argument, was it Sukkos Mamash or the clouds which were miraculously protecting us? But this is what we commemorate when we keep the mitzvah of sukkah. So there is a very strong link. A very strong link when we're keeping mitzvah to what was at Har Sinai. There's no way the Umos HaOlam, the Gentiles of the world, can fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Because in order to fulfill it, you need a kavana. Alright, there are questions in halacha if you sit in the sukkah and you haven't got the kavana. But lechachila, you need the kavana to remember the man yedu derasechem ki v'sukkah soshavti. And without that, the b'diyeved, Mishnah Berurah talks about, if you're filling, at least you need kavana l'tzeis. If you don't think about the sukkahs of original, the unne covered. Okay. But they can't fulfill such a mitzvah. They were not there. They can't fulfill the man yedu derasechem. Ah, you might say to me, what about the Geirim? Those who converted, they were not there either. How can they fulfill the Man Yehudu Derasechem? Ah, well, there's a special pasuk, there's a special verse which says, Hot Ezroch, and Rashi brings down, including the Geirim. So they are included in the Mitzvah of Sukkah, even though they were not there. Besides, we say the Neshomas were at Har Sinai. So, the Sukkah is such a strong link to Har Sinai and Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Hashem is saying, you know, you're trying to do a mitzvah, but every mitzvah which I give, and not just sukkah, is a link to Har Sinai. They see a religion as a list of do's and don'ts. Unfortunately, some Jewish people see it that way. But that's not what Yiddishkeit is. Yiddishkeit is a collection of mitzvahs where each one is a manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem. Every single mitzvah which we do, apart from sukkah, as well as sukkah, is a link to Har Sinai, is a link to Matan Torah, Mamad Har Sinai, the greatest event ever experienced by mankind. And every mitzvah that we do is a manifestation of Hashem's will. So when Hashem gives the Umos HaOlam the mitzvah of sukkah, they don't understand that it's not simply part of a shopping list. It's all part of a body of things which we were asked to do at Har Sinai. And the mitzvah Drabonon, which relates to Har Sinai, because lo yomush mipizach, you may not turn to the right and the left, lo sosil min ha'davar she'yagidu choyu min usmol, all this links back to Har Sinai, even the dinam Drabonon. And that is why Hashem says to them, I give you the mitzvah of sukkah, just to ring through the message. Apart from the fact, well, I asked you beforehand, they did have a chance beforehand, but now you want to keep a mitzvah now. As Jackie Mason says, now it's too late. So that is why the mitzvah of sukkah is given. Apart from all this, we can prove by doing our mitzvah of sukkah that we're doing teshuva me'avo. Comes Yom Kippur, we do a sincere teshuva, and it's afterwards that we got this mitzvah, not before. Why? Because then we can prove ourselves that we really meant it. And if our tefillahs are sincere, and please God they will be, and Hashem gives us that slichah nechila. There's a minhag of the Yekkers on Motzei Yom Kippur to say good Yom Tov. It's not Yom Tov, but we're so happy that Hashem is forgiving us for our sins, and some communities of the custom at the end of Yom Kippur to clap at the end of Ne'ilo and the Kaddish and to sing with a very fervent, happy joy, because Hashem has told us already in advance that if you are sincere in your teshuva, everything will be alright. You start with a clean slate. And we prove that with our mitzvah of Sukkah by doing a teshuva me'avo. And that is not on the agenda of the Urosa Olam. Am Yisrael Kadoshim Hayim, we will fulfill our mitzvahs not because they're on some sort of shopping list, but because they are part of the Ratzon Hashem. Yet, nevertheless, if you're a bit stayer from Sukkah, you just don't have to.